Hello, this is Sue Lloyd, Vice Chair of the ISSB, and I'm here with our Chair, Emmanuel Faber. We're recording this podcast at the end of our September Board Week in Frankfurt. Hope those of you in the Northern Hemisphere had a good break over the summer. So in this episode, we're going to be talking about the latest news and work of the Board over the past 2 months, some key points from our September Board Week, and looking ahead to what's coming up next. So, Emmanuel, where do you want to start?
Hi, Sue. It's great to be with you here. I would, as always, start by welcoming our audience to the Dog and Pony Show of the ISSB Standards Board. So welcome, everyone. And as far as I'm concerned, I'd start with where I was earlier this week and over the weekend in New York around all the events that took place around the UN General Assembly this year, speaking at various events, meeting with many of our international and U.S. Stakeholders. What I found striking was that while the geopolitical situation has certainly shifted in certain jurisdictions more than others, the emphasis on good material disclosures and decision useful information for investors continue to be paramount, including actually in the U.S., speaking at an EY event as well as one hosted by our very own sustainability partners, where we met with corporates and investors, and it was reassuring to hear that clear and obscure disclosures about a company's sustainability-related risks and opportunities continue to support good risk management for executives and to support investors in making their capital allocation decisions. So more work to be done here, and a lot to learn from us. The other thing was, I was actually in Brussels the week before, and I want to mention here that, of course, EFRAG's draft simplified ESRS consultation is front of mind for many and for us. The consultation on the ESRS is open to comment until 29th of September, so it's really coming soon at the end. Our initial observations have been that there are some positive aspects for further efficiencies, such as the proposals on industry-based disclosures for ESRS. However, many proposals threaten to pose further challenges to the complexity, including lack of interoperability with the ESRS and in relation to the ISSB. So we have engaged and we intend to engage both EFRAG and the European Commission to discuss further opportunities to improve interoperability, not only for the sake of interoperability, because also we believe interoperability is a huge source of potential simplification before the finalization of the revised ESRS. I'd just like to make a short comment here that I made already in June, that I think the market is really expecting that the level of alignment is not enough now to support the reporter's lack of burden in preparing. What the market is really looking for is true direct equivalence, what we call full direct interoperability. And just to remind everyone that when GRI issued their new climate standards in June, GRI 102, they granted direct equivalence to IFRS S2 on the greenhouse gas emissions measurement. So once you've done that, you only then have to add whatever else is in GRI climate standards to do to complete the GRI 102 climate standards. And I think this is certainly an option that the EU could consider as opening for companies to be able to prepare ISRS, EFRS S1 and S2, and then add what is required with this same sort of direct equivalence from which to build, as is basically the ISSB standards remit to be a baseline from which jurisdiction can build to their policy objectives. So let's see how that can develop for those stakeholders that are affected by divergence between the EU and international reporting. We encourage you to respond to this consultation, although we also have heard from companies, many companies in Europe, that this would also be a very practical way for companies in Europe to also prepare from the ISSB standards and add what is required in addition to that. So, Sue, there have maybe other things that you'd like to add on this particular topic.
Yeah, and then maybe I'll make my comments in the context of the Eurofi Financial Forum that I attended last week in Copenhagen, where I saw representatives of EFRAG, but also people from the business and the investment community, and indeed this whole discussion about efficient reporting for those using ESRS, but also the ISSB standards is front of mind everywhere you go. They're not just interested in simplification. They're really thinking about this, you know, what the experience is like for preparers needing to apply both sets of standards. So there's a lot of discussion about interoperability, but also companies themselves talking about the benefits of being able to use the ISSB standards and to build on that as a way of approaching the reporting. And, you know, the benefits of having the option to do that, which doesn't mean that we wouldn't also be interested in working on interoperability. But, you know, these things can, you know, coexist. And so that was, I think, really clear in the focus of many in the conversations I had, whether they're coming from the investor side or whether they're coming from the preparer side or indeed those involved in the sort of regulatory ecosystem. This is front of mind for everybody, as it is for us. And I guess that's a good moment to sort of touch on a related note, which was that in August, we decided to publish some new educational material about disclosing information about anticipated financial effects, which is a really important part of the ISSB standards. And we did that for a few different reasons. One, just to make sure that people have a good understanding of the requirements and the standards, and the rationale behind them and why they're important for investors, to make sure that people have a really good understanding of the really important mechanisms we put into those requirements to make it manageable and realistic for companies to provide this information, including quantitative information when possible, and also to provide some examples of what these disclosures might look like to sort of bring it to life a little bit. And we decided to do this now, both because it's really important for all of these companies and jurisdictions in the world who are live using the ISSB standards already, but also because it's timely for the EFRAG consultation, where there is an important question about the approach on disclosures on anticipated financial effects, particularly quantitative information about anticipated financial effects, going so far as having an option that actually an alternative in there that it would be optional to provide quantitative information about anticipated financial effects, which would not only be a really significant difference in our mind from our requirements, but also have an effect on the quality of information available for investors. So it's front of mind for us. So if you haven't looked at that educational material yet, I really would suggest that you have a look at it on our website, because I think it's an interesting document, whether you're looking at it through an ESRS lens or you are an ISSB reporter. The other thing I'd just say before we hand over to Board Week, if it's okay, Emmanuel, is that while you were busy in New York with Climate Week, I was busy in Frankfurt chairing the Sustainability Standards Advisory Forum meeting, our technical advisory group that provides us with input on our standards. We had a really interesting discussion on a number of our different topics. And so for those of you interested in that, there's information about that on our website. And that then brings us to what we've been chatting about during Board Week. So do you want to start us off on that, Emmanuel?
Sure. Thank you, Sue. Yeah, it was, for me, a shorter Board Week than usual because of my travel to New York, and I was there with Elizabeth Seeger and other colleagues. But we certainly had on my side one of the highlights of this week, and there have been a few, has been the project on our nature project, BEES, as we call it. We heard about updates to this project, comparing the common information needs of investors and what is already in the ISSB standards or other materials such as the SASB standards and the CDSB framework, which we inherited in the consolidation of those frameworks as part of the IFRS Foundation in August 2022. So the analysis showed that many of the common information needs of investors on nature-related risks and opportunities are covered by those materials overall, some of which is mandatory for entities applying ISSB standards, and that's in relation to the fact that this is part of S1, IFRS S1 as a general requirement, and some of which are non-mandatory and are guidance or educational material, as we have published over the last couple of years. So we discussed that further educational materials could help companies apply the standards in specific context in relation to nature, but also we noted that there are clear gaps between the ISSB materials and information that would be important for investors. And so, interestingly, the paper that we shared and that I think was overall, very much supported by the board, was indicating that in our next meeting in October, we would discuss the next steps, including the type of educational material that could be helpful, but also importantly, whether and how we can leverage the TNFD recommendation that's been all over the place for already some time, with growing uptake in the market, and with TNFD having presented to us and our cross analysis of where they are and where we are, I could feel even from New York there is a need in the market for clarity as soon as practicable as to how much we can actually use of the TNFD in our own work, whether this is for educational material, guidance, or standard setting, as the case may be. So I really look forward to this October meeting and our conclusions out of that. And then there is also for November further conversations, and I just keep in mind something that we shared during summer around the SASB standards enhancements. We are very conscious of the fact that we already refer in our standards to GRI and the ESRS, and that will be a continued effort in whatever we do in the future on nature, that it's also creating more direct interoperability and common disclosures with these two important sets of materials. So that was my highlight, but we also had great other topics. And if you maybe would take us through some of those for the board with you.
Sure. So next thing I'll talk about is our project to enhance the SASB standards. And for those of you who listen to us, you'll know that in July this year, we published an exposure draft covering 9 of the 12 prioritized SASB industries and also some proposed amendments to the industry-based guidance in IFRS S2 and also actually consequential amendments across a number of other of the SASB standards where we're seeking to align disclosures with those 12 prioritized SASB industries. So before I'll talk about what we discussed this week about that project, a reminder that that's open for comment until the end of November. And actually, we have a webinar and a recording of a webinar that's available on our website where one of our senior staff members, Greg Waters, gives an overview of that exposure draft and how to submit feedback in detail. So I'd refer you to that. But this week, we're talking about the next phase of this project on enhancements to SASB standards. So I said we've got the ED covering 9 of the 12 prioritised SASB standards. This week we talked about the work that's currently underway, where the staff are developing exposure drafts on the next 3 of those prioritised industry standards. So they're looking at our agricultural products standard, meat, poultry and dairy, and electric utilities and power generation. So what we did this week was looked at the feedback that the staff have gathered from stakeholders and the research that they've been doing on these industry standards, the potential new disclosure topics and metrics that they've been identifying that could be useful to meet investors' needs, and also further ideas for enhancing the international applicability of those standards. And we had a really interesting discussion, I think, about the balance. You know, how many disclosure topics do you cover in the SASB standards? What's the Goldilocks point, the right number but not too many. So it's proportionate but meets investors' information needs, and how much work it leaves for those using those standards to have to assess materiality. So that was a really interesting discussion. Also talking about the interaction with how these standards work if you're using the ISSB standards, particularly S1 and the SASB standards. So if you're interested in that, that's a good recording to listen to, I think. So we shared thoughts with the staff, which they'll take away and reflect on as they work further on these exposure drafts, which we hope to publish around the end of this year or early next year. So that was one topic. The other really important thing that we talked about this week at the board was the targeted amendments to IFRS S2. You'll remember that earlier this year we consulted on some very focused amendments to the greenhouse gas emissions disclosure requirements in IFRS S2, really trying to be helpful here by focusing on some key challenges that we became aware of for companies in applying the standard to react on a timely basis while making sure we balance the changes with still continuing to meet investors' information needs. It was a really good discussion, really in the weeds here, in the detail of this really rich feedback we got from our stakeholders. Thank you to those of you listening who wrote in. We got nearly 200 comment letters, which is pretty incredible for a very targeted exposure draft. The main thing to take away from our discussion is that the board has agreed to go ahead with the targeted amendments to IFRS S2. We've refined the proposals in our response to those great comments that you sent us in to fine-tune things a bit. We will proceed with no really fundamental changes, I would say, to what we put out, but with some fine-tuning on some areas. So, for example, reducing the reliance on the GICS system for those who are providing additional information on financed emissions in the commercial banking industry or with assets under management. And refining a little bit some of the additional disclosures we had asked for. But overall, I don't think you'll be surprised by anything in here. We're proceeding with the reliefs that we had proposed. The other thing to know is that the board agreed to make these amendments effective from the beginning of 2027, but to permit entities to apply the amendments as soon as they are published. And we are working super hard to get these amendments out by the end of the year, because we know for some of you who are out there busily applying IFRS S2, it's really important that we have these reliefs available for you to use. So we are beavering away on that as we speak. So that was board week. What's coming up next, Emmanuel?
What's coming up next is this week, I'll be traveling, looking forward to be in Turkey, where I will be meeting with the local regulator, the KGK, as well as the Capital Markets Board, but also corporates and others. I'm also speaking at the International IIA conference hosted by the Institute of Internal Auditing of Turkey on the 1st of October. And meeting a lot of our stakeholders there alongside my colleague, Veronika Punceva. I think Turkey is obviously a great example of a jurisdiction that has been an early adopter of our standards, and its companies are making great strides towards reporting for investors. The first batch of ISSB reports under the Turkish standards was issued in March this year, and we took that opportunity to discuss with the regulators and other some of the opportunities that we would see to probably make even more visible the ISSB's information relevant for investors as part of these very rich reports, which led the KGK to immediately course correct and suggest that the information that is deemed to be financial material for investors would be in an identifiable section of the report, and with all the rest of rich material being supplied by companies sitting in a distinct part. So we have already seen some of the new generation, the V2 of those reports coming and in September, and really happy to engage with the business community, the assurance committee, and again commending KGK for their very pragmatic course correction that we can see already the benefits from a few months later. So what about you, your own travel plans?
Mm-hmm. Well, next week I'm going to be in London, and by the time you listen to this, this event will be over, but we'll be having the World Standard Setters Conference at the beginning of this following week, which is a really great opportunity, an annual event where we connect with the standard setter community truly from around the world. It's a very broad event, which is great. And I'll be looking forward to talking to jurisdictions who are looking at making decisions or already on the process of implementing the ISSB standards. And for anybody listening who's interested in what we discuss and what happens there, it will be information available on our website that you can take a look at. The other thing that I'm looking forward to, which isn't travel as much, but something that's coming up, is our sustainability symposium, our sort of flagship sustainability conference for the foundation, which is going to be taking place at the end of October, the 30th of October in London. It's a really great event. It's the first time we've held it in Europe. We've held it before in Montreal and in New York in 2024. And it's really going to be a great chance to really get into, you know, more of the nitty-gritty, the practical implication of our standards and the benefits of applying them. So for those joining that event, you'll have the chance to hear, you know, really real-world examples from corporate leaders and practitioners who are leading the way in sustainability reporting. So I really recommend it to people. I think it's a really great convening of companies, investors, advisors, regulators, and policy makers from around the world. So there's a really great sort of networking opportunity to exchange views and catch up with people. And also most of our board's there. So it's one of the rare occasions when you see a lot of us, if you're interested in engaging with us. So I really commend it to you. And from my side, I'm looking forward to chatting to the EFRAG SRB chair, Patrick D. Cambore. He and I are going to have a bit of a fireside chat. He told me he hopes I'm going to have a real fire there with flames and smoke. I'm not sure I can deliver that, but hopefully it will be a lively conversation whether or not we actually have a fireplace. So if that sounds interesting to you, look out on our website and look for details of that symposium event, and maybe you can come and say hello to me if you come and join us there.
Thank you. To let me add, by the way, that building on the incredible success of our Beijing conference in June, first international sustainability conference from Beijing, and the hundreds of connections we had and the numerous regulators around the world sitting on panels and companies, I do hope and expect that our sustainability symposium will build further from that. So same, we expect you there. For all you and this audience, I cannot end this podcast on my side without an update about our inaugural board. As on Friday, the last day of the board week, the IFRS Foundation trustees announced several important updates on the membership of the ISSB, with several members' inaugural terms coming to an end. First, I'll start with you, my dear Sue. I'm delighted that our vice chair, the one and only Sue Lloyd, has been reappointed to serve a second term of 4 years as vice chair, starting on the 1st of March 2026. So for all of you of the audience who like Sue Lloyd's voice, you'll have the opportunity for more. Elizabeth Seeger has been reappointed to serve a second term of 5 years, as well as Hiroshi Komori, who has been reappointed for a second one-year term. We have to bid farewell to dear colleagues, some of our board members too, with Michael Jiancy and Tae Yong Pike, who are stepping down as ISSB members when their first terms will end on the 30th of September. Tae Yong will, however, serve as a senior advisor to me for 1 year. And I have to say that I'm truly grateful for their commitment and service to the board. Frankly, as I am for everyone on the board here, it's probably a moment just to say in one sentence that the inaugural ISSB, with its 14 members recruited in the course of the first half of 2022, has for the last 3 years delivered way beyond what we had promised, and certainly what we had promised to ourselves, with now nearly 40 jurisdictions already starting to implement their adoption of the standards. This is thanks to the incredible work and dedication to our board members and our staff and the staff at the IFRS Foundation. I'm proud to work with such a talented individuals and such an incredible group, and I look forward to continuing to serve the capital markets with my colleagues. And that will start with next month, when we will meet in London, and look forward to updating you from there. Thank you for being with us.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please take the time to rate, review, and subscribe on your preferred podcast player. Please contact us on communications@ifrs.org with any questions, comments, or suggestions. You can also sign up for email alerts on our website, ifrs.org, or find us on social media.